There we go. Okay. If Quinn figures out a way to transplant his head into his dog, we have two cats at our house, so we don't have a dog. You can't teach cats anything. Our cat has decided that the litter box isn't good enough. The living room rug, good place. You haven't lived until you get up at 4:45 in the morning, walk out in bare feet, and discover there's a present waiting for you. And I'm not allowed to take the cats outside anymore. So, if anybody would like to steal our cats so we can get a dog, so we can teach the dog, come on over. Yeah, actually, I would, but one of the cats is terrified of John and I. If John and I walk in the room, gone. Sprints. Doesn't want to be around us. And last thing, just because it's just happened right now, you don't realize how tall Blake is until he's standing back there talking to the sound booth, and his head is like up next to the sound booth. And you look and you're like, what's he standing on? The ground. That's a tall dude. So, anyway, here we go. This is our fourth lesson in following the example of Jesus. This lesson is titled Seeking and Saving the Lost. And I would like to read a introductory paragraph here. Jesus told Zacchaeus, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. All Christians should do the same to the extent of our power and ability. There is a limit to what we can do in following the example of Jesus and seeking and saving the lost. Jesus is the only one who can save, but we can seek them and point them to him who is able to save them. From the time that man first sinned, God has shown his desire for man's salvation. God has also wanted his people to be involved in seeking those who are lost and teaching them the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation to all who will believe it." All right, I left out one sentence. I just wanted to see if I was going to be shocked or something if I didn't follow this verbatim. So I think we're safe, so we can go off on tangents and stuff like that. That's good. As if you've ever been in a class of mine, I do like you guys. I like to get involved, and sometimes we're going down a path, and then a nice tangent presents itself. It's the way I teach when I'm in school too. Although I teach mathematics, so it's not a ton of tangents because pretty much got to find X. But I do like to take the lesson where it takes us. I don't have a predetermined notion. I was talking to John before class, and he said, "So how much do you have prepared?" And I said, "That's not a lot." And so he was a little perplexed because I guess he's a very prepared guy. But I really feel like if I get up here and I'm teaching the lesson, that there's so many people in this congregation that I learn from every day. The lesson that Nathan gave us on Sunday was really, really good, Sunday night. And I really feel like to get up here and just talk the whole time would not do a service to everybody, because we have so many people out there with such great knowledge. Which, by the way, when we get to this one passage, I'm calling on someone. I'm going to read it, and then you got to explain it to me, because I can't get my head around it at all. But first of all, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Couple of verses here. Matthew 1:21, "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And then in Acts 5:31, "God exalted Christ with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." And then John 14:6, "Jesus said to his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So this is just three of the several verses that were listed in this lesson where we are given our safety net to know that we have Jesus to get us where we need to go. But what is our job? What I got out of this lesson, what is our job besides, okay, I've been baptized, I come to church, I study the Bible, I read the Bible every day, I try to put God at the forefront of my mind in the decisions that I make, what I'm going to say, what I'm going to speak. And, by the way, Harrison Twins. Kentucky fan right there. two twins who play for Fort Ben Travis down in Houston, and they're very, very good, and they signed with Kentucky. So let them know. We're very happy. Anyway, so, sorry. Like I said, tangents. Where was I? Oh, so, but what is my job outside of being the religious, spiritual leader of my family? What is my job outside of setting the example to my son and my daughter and my wife on how, where we should be in the Word, where we should be in our relationship with God? Because that's my number one priority after me, making sure that I'm concentrating on God, is making sure that my family is there with me. And what this lesson is talking about is our job is not just to take care of ourselves, but to go and reach out to other people who aren't in this community that we're a part of. Because it's very easy for all of us to talk to each other. Because I have a very good time after church talking to people. I have a great time coming here before dinner and talking to people. And it's easy because we're all comfortable with each other because we all have a common belief and we all have a common baseline that we're all part of. What happens when we're alone or we're at work or we're someplace where we're the only person who believes what we believe? Is it as easy to talk about Jesus and God and things like that in that situation? Yes. So you don't feel like browbeating them and telling them they're all going to hell is a good way to approach it?
Correct.
Correct. Okay.
It's illegitimate to hold someone accountable.
Well, also the question I would have is this, is how do you respond to someone who you first start talking to that starts immediately pointing out everything that you're doing wrong and tries to tell you, here's what you're doing wrong, you're bad here, you're bad here, you're bad here, you're bad here, you're bad here. How do you respond? I know how I respond. It's not positive. Okay, I respond well to positive things. I respond well to having a connection with somebody and having a common interest and being around somebody over time and being comfortable with that person. So what I'm trying to get at is, if it's our job to go out and bring the gospel to other people, like at your job, who haven't heard of it. And as we get farther in the lesson, we're going to see that we are actually called to do this. This is not please, if you got time, sort of thing. I will have a better success rate if I find, how'd you just say it, get to their level? Yeah, don't put myself here and put them here. I need to put us on the same level. I don't need to talk down to them. I need to talk with them. Go ahead, Richard.
Mm-hmm.
have to find a common ground. And so what are some things that we can do to go out and seek the lost, to bring them to Jesus so he can save them? Some examples. It's a, question number one, what did Jesus tell his disciples about the harvest? And it says in Matthew 9, 37 and 38 and John 4, 35 through 38 that the harvest, you know, one reason is it's not like there's not enough people out there who need to hear it, right? We could all go out there and start today and work every second for the rest of our lives, and we're not going to reach hardly enough. So that what Jesus was telling him was the harvest is out there. Everything's ripe. We don't need to wait for anything to grow. They're all out there. We need to go right now. So there's no sense waiting. Let's go and do it right now. And also, the thing he promised them was that the wages that we get paid for harvesting, for working, for going out and giving that gospel, okay, is eternal life. We're called to do it. We're pleasing God with that behavior, which is really what we want to be doing in everything that we do. Okay, and also, one thing I've learned through teaching is I studied math. Well, I studied physical education, but I got a math secondary degree too. So, but when you teach, I didn't really learn math until I started teaching it to high school students. That's when I really started getting an understanding of how it works. Okay, so me reading the Bible and coming to church and listening to lessons is great, but until I get out and actually try to teach it to somebody or try to communicate it to somebody, I don't really get that really deep grasp. Not that I have it now, but I'm saying you can't get to that depth of knowledge and relationship with God until you go out and actually talk to people about it and then get somebody who's interested and start to teach and bring that person closer and then go out and do it again. Coach Chuck.
You know, we have to have a mindset to look for things. Mm-hmm. We look for the opportunities that God gives us. All the time, you know, God, we're out there in the world. God can put somebody in our path. And if we don't have a mindset of looking for it and being aware of things, it might be a second or two or 5 or 10 seconds. We have opportunity to talk to someone. God's put them there. But if we're not aware of it and conscious and looking for those opportunities, it could just bypass us and we never have an opportunity again.
Yep.
We've just got to be open and looking all the time and aware all the time. And so when God puts somebody in our path, we need to be ready for it.
Or as you coach us in high school, be on balls of our feet and ready to react to anything. He was actually a coach at my high school when I was in high school. That's why I called him Coach Shock. Yes? So what I would ask is to come off his point with your point is, we're all under it, but do they know it? We're all accountable to it, but do they know it? And no, I'm saying the people who are sinning. What if they don't know? Who's going to tell them? Exactly. That's our job. That was the whole. Yep, our job to pray for them, but also the. What did Jesus tell the apostles to do, that men might be saved? As he was just talking about, we're to go out, we're to teach, we're to baptize, we're to engage people, we're to find them. And just like, I don't know your name, I'm sorry. Derek? Gary? I can't hear anything. Darren? Three's a charm. As Darren just said, we learned this in Ken's Romans class when he was teaching the small group studies of the Romans class. Was the question he asked was, what about the person who is in the middle of the African bush and has never heard of Jesus, has never seen a Bible, has never seen anyone who's heard of Jesus or seen a Bible, and lives his whole life and is a good person and does right things and dies? does that person go to heaven? Yeah. Yes, sir. And I would think we should be, maybe not for that guy, but we need to be part of that way. We need to be part of that way that's going out in the world to help people with the information, sitting down and teaching them. How important is preaching in seeking and saving the lost? What do you think? Is it more important? Sir? Exactly. And the quote I have is, he who calls the Lord will be saved. How can you call who you don't believe in, and how can you believe in someone you don't know? And the only way they're going to know is if we go out and tell them. We can't just assume as, I don't know your dad's name, Ian. As Ian just said, if that person is seeking the Lord will find a way to get the word to him. But what if that person isn't seeking the Lord, doesn't know? Then it's our job to go out and find them and to bring them that information as fast as possible. Yes? I've never thought of ambassador in that context, but you're right. That's a very good way to put it. Hey, Glenn, good job. Got a good one there.
Can you summarize what she said?
She was saying, if you read in 2 Corinthians 5, it talks about how disciples are supposed to go out as ambassadors. And if you think about what an ambassador is, it's someone who is in a foreign country who represents our country per se, but they're very civil, they're very kind, they're very open, they have civil conversations, and you know, they get things done without intimidation. They get things done through talking, and that's a really good way to put it, being an ambassador. Yes. Yes, good.
No.
And that's the main idea of this, what you just said, is that having that relationship, not being judgmental, but setting the example and bringing people, like using honey rather than vinegar, bringing people to you and inspiring them to want to get to the level where you are. Hey, just for the record, if I have to choose between you and her, I'm choosing her. Just, she terrifies me. So, no offense, Richard. Yeah, and doesn't it just sound better in that accent? Just sounds smarter, doesn't it? I think it does. I've got a kid from London in my geometry class, and he's a decent student. He's not the best student in the class, but anytime he speaks, he's the smartest guy in the room. They just sound smarter. That's what Darren was just saying to you. Said the English gentleman, it sounds better. I wish I could duplicate it. I would sound smarter. Okay, and next, to what did Paul tell Timothy to take heed that he might save himself and others? 1 Timothy 4:16. What did Paul tell Timothy he needed to do in order to be this ambassador for Christ? What I got was, we need to watch our life and our doctrine closely. Okay, like she said over here, in order to make that relationship, she's not going to lower herself down and live the way somebody else is living, but she is going to, in a non-judgmental way, build a relationship that will bring that person up. Okay, and by doing that, we're watching ourselves and setting that good example for ourselves. We have to be the example that people strive to be. They need to look at us and say, hey, I'd like to be like that. And one of the things I try to tell people if I'm talking to them is that, because I was baptized, were we 30? So Pam and I got baptized at a Church of Christ in Kentucky when we were living there. And we were both raised Catholic. And when we were baptized, I try to tell people, because they say, aren't you just dunked in water and you come out, what's the difference? And the difference is that before, when I was walking around, you know, pretend somebody's got two hands on your shoulders and they're just kind of, they're pushing down. It's not enough to make you not be able to move, but it's enough that you can feel it. You got that weight on your shoulders. And then you get baptized and you come up and all of a sudden, all that goes away. And you're a lot lighter. And you can just, you worry about a whole lot less. And the more I study the Bible and the more I read and the more I listen to Ken and Nathan and things like that, the easier it is to not worry about things. And by releasing that worry, you unclog this thing up here and it stops getting in the way and you're able to do a lot of the things that God wants us to do. So that's how I try to approach it with people when they ask me, well, what's the big deal? How am I going to be different 5 minutes later? It's just easier to take all your troubles and say, here, can you take care of those, please? Thank you. Now I can relax. And that's what it does. What kind of men are needed to teach the Bible? Or the gospel. Teach the gospel. I apologize. Sir? Reliable, faithful men. That's what Jesus said. And then How do you think, what do you think was part of the process of him becoming, because I really enjoy him. He makes it very understandable for me, and I've ADD sometimes sets in for me, not with him. I can actually listen. And it's through that practice, doing it again and again and again, and that's what we need to do. We will get better at it the more and more we do. You're going to chase a little bit different rabbit? Okay, I've never heard that. Thank you. I'm using that tomorrow in class, so go ahead. My daughter starts high school next year, so my plan to keep her locked in the house is not a good plan. Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to handle that. I'm taking it one day at a time. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Sorry. I missed my other point here. What was Paul's attitude about preaching the gospel? And this comes from 1 Corinthians 9:16. What was his attitude about preaching the gospel? And one would think, you know, you're Paul. You're walking around and you've got this authority that you would feel pretty good about yourself. Okay? But actually what he said was, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. So you hear about people, different motivations. Some people are motivated by success. Some people are motivated by the fear of failure. And I'm a fear of failure person, so that's what motivates me to try to do well in what I'm doing. So the way I read that is, for me, is if I'm not doing this, I'm not, that's bad. It's not that going out and doing it will make me feel better. Going out and doing it will make me feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, so I will feel that relief of, okay, I'm doing my job, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. So I think with this calling, it's very important that we take it seriously, that this isn't a suggestion, this isn't a hey, when you got time. So, all right, last thing. Even though we have like 9 more things, but last thing. What makes winning souls such an important work? What could possibly make it the most important thing that we do? And what's better for the world, for us to have this group of people right here and just make sure we all stay on the path and close that door and make sure we've got 50 people ready to go to heaven? That make God happy? Or do you think he wants 5,000 or 5 million? Yeah. Yep. He wants us to go out and see, use what we have and bring people to us. Seriously, come on. How great did that sound? Yeah, well, now it's Ryan, so we're going to go to the other end of the spectrum. Ryan? Love you.
Well, so sometimes I think we get caught up and we have too much stuff going on. For me, maybe I put too much emphasis on watching ball games or
Thank you. That's why the world is here.
It's absolutely amazing when you dig in like that, how it becomes, you understand so much more.
So as in summary, we need to get out of our comfort zones. We need to get out to people who haven't heard the word or aren't living by the word. Be ready to engage them in conversation, bring them closer, and then we grow in our relationship with the Lord through that, through being good teachers. So if you guys will join me in a prayer, we'll pray and then we'll be done. Father God, thank you for this opportunity to come together and to discuss your word and also discuss your plans for us and to encourage each other. Thank you for all the great contributions in class this evening. Please help us all to go out into the world with a better understanding of what you want from us. Please give us the courage and the sight to go seek other people out and get out of our comfort zones and really talk about you and bring more people closer to you. In your son's name we pray. Amen.